Our aim was to compile an overview of Chomsky's political thought that combines the rigor and documentation of his scholarly books with the accessibility of the interview format. Always, we remained faithful to Chomsky's own language and answers, and he reviewed the text, but it was necessary to make superficial alterations for structural and stylistic reasons. Most of the material is from seminar-style discussions with groups of activists, or from question periods after public talks held between 1989 and 1999. Some of the answers in chapters 6, 7, 8, and 9 are taken from conversations between Chomsky and Michael Albert. Questioners are identified as man or woman because frequently this device reveals when the same person is pursuing a line of questioning or whether somebody else has taken over. We have personally checked and verified the sources cited in the footnotes, except for certain foreign language materials. Most of the sources are those Chomsky relied upon when making his comments in the text, but some are not. Emily Mitchell's assistance in retrieving reams of this material in the final months of our work on this project was invaluable. We direct readers to footnote 67 of Chapter 1 for discussion of one common misunderstanding regarding the footnotes, that the frequent citation to articles from the mainstream media is at odds with the propaganda model of the media, which Chomsky outlines in Chapter 1. We want to thank our parents, Emily and George Mitchell, and Ron and Joan Schoffel, whose support made the book possible. The editors. A note on the events of September 11, 2001. As this book was going to print, hijacked airplanes hit the World Trade Center and Pentagon, killing thousands, and potentially triggering major repercussions in U.S. society and in the world. The U.S. media devoted huge coverage to the attacks and their aftermath, but overwhelmingly, the media omitted a critical, accurate discussion of the context in which they occurred. When President Bush and U.S. officials announced that America was targeted for attack because we're the brightest beacon for freedom and opportunity in the world, the mainstream media in the U.S. mostly echoed the refrains. A lead analysis in the New York Times stated that the perpetrators had acted out of hatred for the values cherished in the West as freedom, tolerance, prosperity, religious pluralism, and universal suffrage. Glaringly missing from the U.S. media's coverage was a full and realistic account of U.S. foreign policy and its effects around the world. It was hard to find anything but a passing mention of the immense slaughter of Iraqi civilians during the Gulf War, the devastation of Iraq's population by U.S.-instigated sanctions throughout the past decade, the U.S.'s crucial role in supporting Israel's 35-year occupation of Palestinian territories, its support for brutal dictatorships throughout the Middle East that repress the local populations, and on and on. Similarly absent was any suggestion that U.S. foreign policy should, in fundamental ways, be changed. This book was compiled before the events of September 11, 2001. But answers to many of the most important questions presented by those attacks will be found here. Why does the media provide such a limited and uncritical perspective, and such inaccurate analysis? What is the basis of U.S. foreign policy, and why does it engender such widespread hatred of the U.S.? What can ordinary citizens do to change these situations? As Chomsky noted right after the attacks, the people in the advanced countries now face a choice. We can express justified horror, or we can seek to understand what may have led to the crimes. If we refuse to do the latter, we will be contributing to the likelihood that much worse lies ahead. From our frightening current vantage point, the discussions collected in this book seem more urgent than ever. We hope that the book will provide a starting point for understanding and will continue.